welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Our service today will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Does the subject of heaven interest you? We'll take a look at what the Bible has to say about it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, there are so many times that our minds go back and we think of those who have gone to be with you, those whom we have loved, those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh Lord, sometimes we really wish that we could sit down and visit with them. But we're grateful that in your word, you continue to reassure us that those who die trusting in Christ live with him eternally. So help us on this All Saints Sunday to listen once more to what that word has to say, and grant that it might cause us even a longing for that day when we shall see you face to face. Hear our prayer that we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Thank you.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation, beginning with verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. They were from every nation, tribe, people, and language, and they were standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders. And the four living creatures, they fell down on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me.
Friends in Christ, would you like to know just a little bit more about heaven? And I can hear someone say, "Not really. I'll take what I have here and leave the rest to chance. Why don't you pick a more relevant topic?" But is what you have right here on this earth enough to satisfy your desires? Let me ask you, have you buried someone in your family? Or what were your thoughts at the graveside? Or let me ask you, what are your thoughts today? Don't you ever think about them? Don't you wonder? Aren't you thankful for the many things that they gave you? Wouldn't you like to know just a little bit more, if they died in Christ, what's going on with them now? Why do you enjoy some of those stories about St. Peter meeting a person at the gate? You know, those you hear with the boys or the girls, not in a church setting at all. Why were they humorous? Did they perhaps just tickle your curiosity a little bit? And were you wondering what it really was like there in the heavenly mansions? Why are you concerned about the funeral? We have a statement now that we use quite a bit. The funeral is very important because it provides us with closure of that loved one's life. There's a great deal of talk today about cremation. You know, it's becoming ever so popular. And the question that sometimes people will come and ask their pastors is this: do you think it's wrong to cremate? I generally say, no, I find nothing wrong with it in the Bible. It says that our body is going to return to the dust, and all that cremation seems to do is get the body there just a little bit more quickly. This was, after all, only a tent in which we live. The soul has departed to be with the Lord. Now, I personally have a need for something more for my closure. I need more than just ashes. I need an embalmed body, if it's possible. I need a grave. I need a stone. I need a place where I can go and stand for just a brief time and meditate, considering and realizing all that this loved one has given to me. How much more, however, I need to know about my loved one's eternal destiny. So let me ask you again, wouldn't you really like to know more about life after death? I just believe you would, because where I live, the subject of life after death gets a lot of attention. Do we really have a final closure on the lives of these who are so close to us? Are they really ever closed out? Is that what we mean by that? Are not the memories very important? Why do we keep those pictures? Why do we go to family reunions? And what is the subject when we get to the family reunions or to a reunion of a class at a high school or a college? I've just returned from one, and I would bet that a big percentage of our conversation was centered around the past and those people who played such a vital part in making it such a glorious experience for us. That is why in the church calendar today, we have a Sunday set aside to talk about these matters of life after death and to remember those who have died trusting in Jesus Christ while they lived here on this earth. This Sunday is called All Saints Sunday, and I'm grateful that it is found in the church calendar as we go through the teachings of God's holy word. Now, we have a lot of information about heaven as it comes from our feelings, and our friends can quite often expound on it, and maybe we can too. But what I'd like to do in these few minutes here in this sermon is to turn back to the Word of God and see what God has to say in His Word regarding the heavenly home. It says here in the text that I read for you today, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. And they came from every nation, tribe, people, and language, and they were standing before the throne in front of the Lamb." Isn't it interesting, people, that heaven is going to have a big, big crowd? And they're going to come from all around the world. Think of it. Where the gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached, where the word of God has found its way into the hearts of men and women, and where they have received Him as their Savior and their Lord, there they become a part of the church triumphant, that church that lives in heaven, that church that those of us who died believing in Christ will one day be a part of, that church that knows no end, where there are no bigotries, where no one is discarded simply because he is of a particular color, language, or nationality. So that's the first thing we know about heaven. We know that there are going to be a lot of people there. Isn't that wonderful? And we're going to meet brothers and sisters of every generation and of every tribe and nationality. Now, it's interesting that the Bible tells us that we're going to have a new body. You know, sometimes when you look at our old bodies, you wonder what they're going to end up being. But when we get to heaven, there is going to be a body that will be entirely different. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead, St. Paul writes to the Corinthians. The body that is sown is perishable. We know that, don't we? It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. The Bible makes it very clear that the body that you and I are living in now is a tent, and the tent is going to decay. After it's been placed in the ground, it will finally return to the dust from whence it came. But the new body that we get, and who of us can really know what it's going to be like exactly, that body is going to be eternal. It will not decay. Well, then what about all these people? Where did they come from? It's an interesting thing that the seer here says they came out of the great tribulation. Now, that's the way he describes the world of which you and I are a part. The great tribulation. Oh, we're trying to build our utopias here to a certain extent. And I think that maybe God, sitting back looking at us, could well say, if we used anthropomorphic terms here, you know, they haven't done too badly. Look at all they have done with the creation. Look at how they have made life pretty easy. I want to commend them for that. But we know good and well that here on this earth there is no utopia. Certainly we have realized that in these last weeks. We realize that here our bodies and minds can be subject to a particular enemy who could take us at any time. We look around, especially if you're getting older, and you see the peers who are going. We go around and we talk about those who with whom we once played golf or had a great time, and now they are no longer with us. Well, that's this life. And so there are some tribulations, many trials, and maybe as you listen to me today, you live in the midst of these trials and tribulations. There are things on your mind. There are afflictions in your body that make this life less than desirable. Well, here is a word of God for us that one day, if we die trusting in Jesus Christ, we can live with God forever in the perfect utopia. Yes, we love it here on this earth in spite of its difficulties, but we know that there is something better that is yet to come. Well, then the question is raised, how did they get to heaven? Sometimes when I go to a funeral, I think that, well, you must get there because you've lived such a great life. Or if you go to some other place where they are giving you an award or something like that, and you hear all the nice things that they have to say about you, you begin to wonder, boy, that person is really going to get into heaven, isn't he? Just on the way that he lived and all the services that he did while he or she were here on this earth. No, that's not the case at all. These are they who have gone out of the great tribulation, the Bible says. They have washed their robes, and they have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Lamb, how in the world can we understand that? Here it is, friend. Jesus Christ came into this world. He suffered and he died as a payment for the sins of all the world. Those who will believe in him while they're on this earth, have the complete forgiveness of all of their sins. and the assurance of life everlasting. That's what Jesus Christ has done for them. And so he uses that symbolic language that we have washed our robes in the blood of the Lamb. We have been cleansed. We have been forgiven. We have been restored into fellowship with God. And that's how we get into the kingdom of heaven. And never let anybody kid you about it. This is the way, the only way, according to what the Word of God has to say. Well, what about the quality of life when we get to heaven? Listen to this. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. And the hunger and thirst is more than to be taken literally. It means that never again will there be any needs for us that are not being met. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Stop and think of it. There will be no more crying, no more heartaches, no more being just crushed because something awful has really happened to us. My friend, this is the heavenly home as it is described in the Bible. So we thank God for the saints, for those who have gone on before, having trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. I thank God when I think back on my mother and my father, to know that when they died after many years on this earth, they could go and live with Him. Well, you might say, this is all very interesting, but you really haven't answered the real questions that I have. I have so many of them. For example, I would like to know, will we know one another when we get to heaven? What will we do there? What about all of these people who never heard of Jesus? Will they get a chance to go to heaven too? The Bible doesn't happen to talk about these questions, and so we don't have any specific answers. But let me tell you this. To get the answer to these questions and many more, you will have to wait until you see Jesus face to face. Then He will answer all of your questions. But remember, to have that blessing of seeing Him face to face in your heavenly home, you must know Him as your Savior while you live here in your earthly home. Amen. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, as we live in this day, And we hear so often that we should not be filled with fear. We pray that the words that have come from the Holy Scriptures this morning may really bring peace to our hearts. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we may understand that here we have no lasting city, but we wait for the city that is yet to come. We remember in a very special way today those who have lost loved ones. We ask, O God, that you will comfort them with not the words that we hear on Main Street and around town, but rather with the words that come from the Scriptures, that there is a heavenly home for us, that you have prepared it, and you are anxious to receive us there. So, Lord, we commit ourselves into your care, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will so open our hearts and our minds that these words may bring comfort and peace to us, even in a day of real uncertainty. Hear us as together we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that Pastor Larson's message will enrich your life today and throughout the coming week. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit ministry supported by you, our faithful listeners. We thank each of you for your financial support and your prayers. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. If you don't have a computer, perhaps you can share this address with a friend or relative who does. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Sermons are organized by topic to help you find what you need. Complete recordings of the latest programs can also be heard at your convenience. It is easy to click to a daily devotional and audio thought for the day from our site. Our website strives to be a gateway to a stronger faith for all who visit. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.